right? You know, it's going to be a lovely year. Let's get into God's word. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you because even today we will be changed by your word. Thank you because your word is life. Your word is light. Your word and the encounter with your word changes our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, amen. Amen. And the saints say, so my last teaching for the year is titled, and I'll run with it in January as well, Divine Priorities. My last teaching is titled, Divine Priorities. Right? You know, in 2023, in December, I said a couple of things to us. I said, right, when it comes to the year, it's based on the instructions you follow and the things that you prioritize. That's what I said in December 2023, right? And as I started to ask, speak to the Lord about the days to come, right, he said it doesn't change. Amen. It doesn't change. But he said to me to emphasize divine priorities. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's get into the teaching. Open up your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Because I'm talking about divine priorities. If it is divine priorities, it means these are things that are for the believer. Praise God. All right, praise God. Who is the believer? You know, I always try to be clear that what we are teaching is for a specific few. It's not for everybody. But I always say, if you follow through what we are teaching, your life will change. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read verse 3. Verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Are you there? Church, are you there? 1 Peter 1, 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. What does he say? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Say, God. God is a God of mercy. Very important. Listen to what we are saying. God is a God of mercy. How do we know God is merciful? Listen carefully. God is not merciful to you, right? Because of what you do. God is merciful to you because that's his nature. Someone say his nature. Listen carefully again. Dogs bark. Why do they bark? It is their nature. You cannot stop them from barking because that's their nature. It's second nature to the dog to bark. What is the nature of our God? In description here, he's a God of mercy. Right? That's what verse 3 is saying to us. God, the God of mercy, who had begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. It says, God, a God of mercy. What has he done? He has given us a hope. What has he given us? A living hope. What does every believer hopefully have? Hope. Amen. Amen. What does every believer have? Hope. A living hope. Why? What is the major problem in the world? The major problem in the world is death. Spiritual death. But what has God given to you and I? Hope. In that when we leave this earth, is there life after this earth? Yes, for the one that believes. That is our hope. Are you getting it? That's the mercy of God. The mercy of God is that all man was entitled to death. Death, physical, and death, spiritual. Then what God did was through the resurrection, is in verse 3. Through the resurrection, he makes a way that the man entitled to death spiritual doesn't have that as his experience. He, at a time. So when a believer passes on from this world, we are sure that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is our living hope. That is how God is merciful. He did that for us. He did not need to do it for us. We did not pay him to do it for us. That was the greatest problem of man. He did it for us. The point is, if God is so faithful that he did the major thing for us, on this earth we are more confident. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. What did God give us in verse 4? To an inheritance. The moment you are talking inheritance, you are talking family. Amen. Have they called you to the will hearing of my great-grandfather? The reason why they didn't call you is that you are not a member of my family. Amen. Church, amen. That's the point. Praise God. Church, praise God. How many years now? Maybe 20 years ago. Sister Diola's mom passed on. They didn't call me to the hearing of the will. You know they didn't call me. Why didn't they call me? I'm not a member of the family. So when you hear inheritance, you are talking family. So everyone in God's kingdom has an inheritance, meaning it is their own. Why is it their own? They are a member of the family. Say, I'm a member of God's family. So everyone that is in God's family has this inheritance. What is this inheritance? Life. Eternal life. Are you getting it? That is what makes you different from another person in the world. That is the gift of God. That is the shouting ground of the believer. That is why the believer can say, oh death, where is thy sting? Because before now, before Jesus, death was king. Death will injure men physically and injure men spiritually. So death was a governor. He was a reigning king. Then Jesus comes and puts an end to death. Someone say, thank you, Lord Jesus. He puts an end to death. How did he put an end to death? By giving us life. How do you take away darkness? By putting on the light. Amen. Church, amen. Right. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible. Meaning that inheritance cannot be defiled. The eternal life of a man, he cannot lose it. Why? Because God gave it to him as a member of the family. Praise God. Do you know the reason why they didn't call me for the wee hearing of Sister Diolas? I'm not a member of the family. So it is DNA that made that gathering the way the gathering was. Few people. Why? It's not because of any other thing. It is DNA. So even inheritance is biased. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. That is the hope of the Christian. That after this world, there's life. In this world, so what are we to do on this earth? Our assignment on this earth is to get more people to see and know this life. Amen. Church, amen. It is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. It does not fade away. Reserved for you, reserved in heaven where? For you. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Someone declare, I have an inheritance. Have an inheritance. Look at verse 18. For as much as you know. Because we must always start from the big deal of the Christian before we talk about other things. For as much as you know, verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. That you were redeemed. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold. From your present lifestyle. Vain conversation. Received by tradition from your fathers. Listen, what were you redeemed from? Is there, you can't miss it. It's in that verse. What were you redeemed from? It is there. You were redeemed from traditions. Amen. Amen. Look, it's there. Received by tradition from your fathers. Meaning that the lifestyle of carnality, earthliness, was passed on to man by tradition. How do you know to wear clothes? You met it on ground. Amen. How do you know to do what you do? You met it by the traditions of the environment you were born in. So God says you have been redeemed into a life. Please follow. He says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Right? It's what I'm just trying to show you here is continually position in your mind that the big deal of the believer is his redemption. An inheritance that does not fail. That is what differentiates you from other people. Say, I have an inheritance. An inheritance. So I'm a new creation. I have an inheritance. I have this inheritance. It is called life. Amen. I have a living hope. This living hope makes it clear that even after this life, there is life. However, now that I am on this earth, how can I live on this earth and live well? It will be by your priorities. Let me say it this way. What you prioritize determines your experience. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. What you prioritize determines your experience. What you prioritize determines your experience. You know, I can prove this to you in physical things, but it's the same thing in spiritual things. You know, if a person prioritizes gymming, going to the gym, will it affect their body structure? Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Yeah. What you prioritize becomes your experience. It's a natural order of things. Right? So, I want to encourage you, right? Because I'm slow this morning, so you hear everything I'm saying. So, in the order of priorities, let me say this. Prioritize God's word, God's plan, God's purpose, and God's instructions. Make it priority. And I'll say it again, and you watch out for your experiences. Prioritize God's word, God's plan, God's purpose, God's instruction. I'm going to say it again. Prioritize God's word. The man that prioritizes God's word is actually prioritizing God's plan. The man prioritizing God's plan is prioritizing God's purpose, actually. And the way you go about it is that you prioritize the instructions. It's very clear. Prioritize God's word. In prioritizing God's word, what are you really doing? You're prioritizing God's plan. In prioritizing God's plan, what are you really doing? You're prioritizing God's purpose. And how will you do that? By prioritizing God's instructions. It's very, very clear. This means in the year that you're going into, you will prioritize spiritual growth. You will prioritize it. Because you determine your outcomes. Look at the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In fact, let us start from 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, because, you know, the Bible was put in chapter and verses by people for reference perspective. So let's look at how he was talking first. In 1 Peter 1, 23, it tells you there, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorrupt. There is something, being born again, not of a life that is corruptible. The original word there is divine sperm. Being born again, not from a life, that's the word sperm, not from a life that can be corrupted, but an incorruptible by the word of God. You know, we see this Bible as if it's one of those many, many things, but that is the word of God. the life of God that will change your life. It tells us that being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He now starts to give you an example of how the word of God works. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. It tells you, wherefore, laying aside. So if a man had a problem behaviorally, look at it. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Are we together? All guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. You will have thought he's saying, you know what? You that are keeping malice, don't keep malice again. You that are in envy, don't envy again. You that are speaking evil, don't speak evil again. He says, actually, the way to stop the behavioral issues is prioritize the word. When we prioritize the word, those things will go away. Meaning that bad conduct is a symptom of lack of the word. The man that takes in the word, there are some things that will be flushed out. Look at verse 2. So when you read verse 1 into verse 2, you understand that the word of God flushes out evil conduct in a man's life. So if a man will feed on God's word, we will see it. We will see it in his conduct. The word of God that does not produce sound conduct in you is the word of God that has not settled in. Look at it again. Wherefore, lay aside all malice, evil speaking, hypocrisy. How? Verse 2. As newborn babes. Are you seeing it? Desire the sincere milk of God's word. So if I had an addiction, I should not focus on the addiction. I should focus on the word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, a behavioral problem actually is a growth problem. Praise God. So, you must see the man that is living in sin, we see him as a baby. A baby that actually needs to do what? Grow up. That is why we don't focus on deeds, we focus on it. Do you know the only way we can get Carissa, Zoe, to actually do what we really want them to do is by giving them more food? That they might do what? Grow up. When they grow up, you realize that some of the things they used to do, they do no more. What is the issue? Growth. What's God's counsel to you? Don't focus on your challenges or problems. Focus on growing. You getting it? As newborn babes, desire. Someone say desire. So that means there is something we can learn from this little Zoe. So you know that little Zoe, if she feels like having breast milk at 2 a.m. See me, can you remember Carissa in those days? If she wanted breast milk at 3 a.m., will you wake up? Will she wake you up? Will she do everything in her power to ensure that is she selfish sometimes on this matter? She will wake you up. Why? She must take breast milk. She's not looking. You don't tell Simi. Simi will not be telling Carissa, really, you know that I went to work and I just. No. If she wants breast milk, God says we should learn from Carissa. We should learn from Zoe. All the excuses. Why? I must take breast milk. Why? I am committed to grow. In fact, that's the way. When we don't see her desiring it like that, we know something is wrong. He's saying to you that the believer not desiring God's word is already a symptom of a greater problem. Are you getting what's going on here? As newborn babes. So it is not it is something you are known with. How many people have friends that are foodies? I don't know if you know what a foodie is. You know, you just know, because very soon, maybe you guys are just trying to do some work at work or something. You start seeing the parents say, is there no food in this part at this party? It's not something we are hiding. Praise God. As newborn, that's you learn it, but you have to learn it from the spiritual perspective. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God, because if the answer to the problems of our life is growth. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. I always give this example so that it makes sense. There was a day my son was trying to get something from the window, but it was too short. I just walked past and I gave in to him. And God told me, this was 9 years ago. God told me, you see that? You see the way you easily gave it to him? You gave it to him without struggling because you have grown. So you could pick up the thing from the window and give it to him. Tell my people that their problem is not the problem. Growth is the problem. Praise God. No matter what it looks like, no matter the prognosis of any year, it doesn't concern you. What concerns you is growth. Amen. Brother Toby, this was your cue for clapping. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you grow thereby. How does Colossians call it? How does he tell you this? Colossians 3:16. So by now, as I'm teaching, you should start to have a plan. What will I do better in 20? From now, don't even wait to 2025, because that thing that is called New Year resolution is a scam. Right? It's a scam. You just do it for 4 months and then you'll be happy, you know, and then you just move on. If the person that really wants to change starts from now. Amen. Praise God. Praise. Okay, don't let me get there because I'll get there later. Colossians 3:16. Because I want you to understand that what it takes, right, in this life is you growing. Praise God. Church, praise God. There are many things people now will call a miracle. That is your everyday lifestyle. You know why? You have grown. So anything that is against your growth is actually your enemy. But people don't know. That's why later we're going to see it as one of part of our divine priorities later. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see it later. Divine priority. Anything that is against your growth. Because when growth happens, right? Look at Colossians 3. I want to read verse 16. How does Paul tell this to the church in Colossae? The same thing that Peter told the people in Galatia and Cappadocia, because that's who he wrote it to. Okay? Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ. What should he do? Dwell. Someone say dwell. Do you know what I mean of dwell? Right? Dwell. How many people have eaten before? Right? How many people have eaten before? Right? How many people eat normally? You eat, then you use your teeth to break it down, then you swallow. How many people don't eat like me when I was like 3 years old? I don't use my teeth. I just take it, because most of the things that they were feeding me, I didn't like it. I came from a place where when I was young, they are giving me a bar. You know, so I just take it, it's the meat that I break down. The others, don't be like that. It's not dwelling. Right? He says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. It means you will take God's word, you will think through it. Right? The word of God, for it to be useful to you, will be the word of God you meditate on. Amen. Yeah. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. I ask the Lord. And you know why I always share this kind of thing? So you can know that there's nothing me I cannot ask the Lord. There's nothing. Nothing. Right? I ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be wiser in 2025. I asked him recently. I said, I want to be wiser in 2025. What do I need to do to be wiser? He said, feed on my word much more. For that's where wisdom is. For then I'll see, you would get to know, you will get to see, you get to understand. And so I'm telling you too now. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. It says, it even tells you there that the more the word of God dwells in you richly, it becomes what you teach and admonish. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. We are talking about prioritizing spiritual growth. We are saying to you that it comes via God's word. Look at Acts 20, verse 32. So have a schedule of you feasting on God's word. Have a plan around this. Plan it. Have a plan. Don't be the order of those that just wake up. Bah! Internet, boom! Instagram, pee! No, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Have a plan. Have a plan. Don't just wake up and just dabble into life. Are you not scared? Amen. Just wake up, pee, and you have dabbled into life. Before you know, there are 30 things you need to sort out now. Uh-huh. Read God's word. Let it give you peace. Pray in the Holy Ghost and be still. Don't just wake up, pee. No, and just go bow. That's a wrong way to live. Amen. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, this is Paul talking to elders. He's leaving them. He said they will not see his face again. What then does he tell them? And now, brethren, I do what? I commend you to God. I want you to be there. What do you leave people with? And you are sure that if you left them with the word, they are if you left them with this one, they are fine. It's the word. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. When a Holy Ghost meeting, and in that meeting, we got by prophecy that one of us was meant to relocate immediately back to Nigeria. And we told her, she had known it. And she, in the Holy Ghost meeting, just like this. And she cried, and we comforted her. And then we got the ticket. Go back. When she was going back, you will have thought I'll have given her many tips. I just said, Bible, word, take, you're fine. Go and do exploits. That's all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I was leaving the country, right, Nigeria, to come here, and as I was leaving, right, what was given to me? I have a picture of it. All read Bible like that. Take, go. That's all. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Is there? Which is able to do what? Build you up. It will do it. You say you don't feel it. And many people have been around people, like myself and my wife, we had a family meeting recently, and they were telling us about one of the children in the family. They said he has changed. He used to be a PS4 person, always playing PS and doing this. But they say now, something has happened to him. What happened to him? The word happened to him. He started going to a church, and they were emphasizing the word of God. And he started feasting on the word of God. And it changed him that his parents knew. It will change you. You would think nothing is happening, but something is happening to you. Because there is something about the word of God. It starts to affect your decision making. So just feast on it. Trust God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's what Acts 20 says, verse 32. Praise God. Church, praise God. Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. See, I'm prioritizing God's word this year. I'm prioritizing spiritual growth this year. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power. Are you there? He has given us how many things? All things that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Sean, through the knowledge of God. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you become a partaker of the divine nature. Are you noticing what is being said here? He has given unto us all things that pertains to life, eternal life, and living like God, godliness, through the knowledge. So tell your neighbor, go for knowledge. Knowledge of God's word. Yeah, he said he has given it to us, all things that pertains. So there is nothing I'm looking for that the answer is not in the word. Is there? He has given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue, according to his divine power, exceeding great and precious promises, that you might be partakers. Partakers is the word fellow sharers. It means that there is a tendency that if you do not interact with the knowledge of God, you would not partake in this nature, divine nature. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. I am just giving you God's word to show you what you are to do this year. Prioritize his word. Prioritize his plan. Prioritize his purpose. Prioritize his instructions. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. So, in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, verse 17 is saying, so that you are not led astray. So the wicked does not get you. Look at it. 2 Peter 3 from 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How will you ensure you don't fall? But grow in grace. I mean, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He says, grow in grace. So that you don't fall from your steadfastness. Meaning that you cannot say, I was a spiritual gymnast 15 years ago. Last year when we used to pray. Last year when I read the Bible cover to cover. In 2022, it says you will grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a present continuous thing. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So what I've emphasized in this year is you will give yourself time to this thing. You will change some things around, right? You will use your time better. Praise God. Look at this. The second thing you prioritize this year is you prioritize meditation. Joshua 1 verse 8. Very popular scripture. We are looking at the title, Divine Priorities. Joshua 1 verse 8. A lot of people know it. This book of the law shall not depart from your, shall not depart from your, so there is a part of this instruction that has to do with you speaking. What will you be speaking? What are you speaking? The word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Amen. Shall not depart from your mouth. Amen. So there is the part of the word of God that you are reading that we should find on your lips. The point is this. If you read something long enough, it will become your language. Amen. Church, amen. I'm not saying you should start talking do as thou because you are reading KJV. What I'm saying to you is that what you read becomes your lingual. It becomes your philosophy. How you think. Praise God. Let me help you understand what I'm saying. I was reading the book of 2 Chronicles, right, chapter 26. And I saw in there that Uzziah was a man who in his days invented engines. The Bible says he prayed to the Lord and the Lord helped him marvelously. That, and in helping him marvelously, he invented engines that was way ahead of his time. And I said, wow, that's meditation. He prayed and asked God for help, and he was able to do something that was not around in his time. So if I would pray and commit my ways to God and ask him for help, that's my supernatural advantage. That came from me reading that story. Praise God. Church, praise God. I was reading 2 Chronicles 15, verse 4. It said, there was a time in Israel. They didn't have a teaching priest. They didn't have the law. There was vexation for people that came out, vexation for people that went by. Everywhere around them, there was always trouble. But when they turned on to the Lord, he gave them rest. I said, So in the teaching ministry is the rest of the people. The more people are taught, The more that's meditation. Not that John 2:3-16. Why are you still reading Bible? Amen. Meditation. You are thinking through what you read. I was reading 2 Corinthians 14, Chronicles 14. I was reading the story of a man. And this man's name was Amaziah. He asked the Lord for help. And God rescued him from an army greater than him. You know what he now did? He took the gods of the people that God rescued him from and started serving those gods. Even me, I was shocked. But you know, if you're speed reading it, you won't get what is going on. Yeah, and Amaziah now took the gods of the people and you just continue reading it like that. But you will stop and think about that. How can God rescue you from this God? And you went to the God to go and be worshiping the God. You stole the God from the place. My point is, meditation changes your life. It changes how you make decisions. There was a man that was going to fight a war. He was going to fight this war, and he spent 7,500 silver, tons of silver, on hiring, I think, 1,000 soldiers. And God told him, do not go to battle with those 1,000 soldiers. And he told God, after all the 7,500 tons of silver are spent, you are saying I should not go. I should return this army I hired back to the owner. And the prophet came and said, do you not know? It doesn't matter how much you have spent. Do you not know that God can give you more? I said, I see. It doesn't matter the direction. If there is a redirection, regardless of what we lose, God can give us more. Are you seeing meditation? That's what I'm saying. Not like, what did you learn there? Well, John 3 was a good chapter. This writer was smooth. I just saw one or two things there that really blessed me. Brother, no, after you read the Bible, if you have nothing you are thinking through, then meditation is not happening. Meditation is what you do, not what God does for you. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Why am I saying what I read? I am saying what I read because I thought through it. If you can't remember your yesterday's Bible study, my brother, my sister, after you read, you didn't meditate. And listen, meditate is meant to be continuous. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it when day and night. What will now happen? You observe to do. It says meditation is what spurs believers to action. It's there. Read it in Joshua 1. He didn't just say, arise and do. What did he say? So, I want to do something. I know it is what to do, but I just do not have the ability to do it. Read what they say you should do. Talk about what he said you should do, you will find yourself doing it. Hallelujah. If you have an addiction, how do you get out of that addiction? If coke is your addiction, just using one, you must drink coke. They told you that, hey, sugar is too, you must drink coke. What do you do? You get God's word. What does God's word say? God's word say, God is my strength and is my ability. I have strength over this. God is my strength. I have strength over this. God is my strength. You would be drinking the coke. Then you say, God is my strength. I have strength over this. Don't say, I have been talking about it, but I'm still drinking coke. God is my strength. I have strength and ability over this. One day you would wake up and the word of God has worked as an experience. You just wake up and realize that, you know, maybe I should not take coke today. That's how it starts. Praise the Lord. Meditation is this. When I'm interested in doing, when I'm interested in knowing, when I'm interested in seeing God's power, I then now start to meditate. What should you do with prophecies? You think you put them on your, you put them on your mind. You talk about them. You roar about these things. And then that's how it happens. He says, you shall observe to do this. Then you shall make your way prosperous. You know, Joshua didn't come and say, Pastor, Lord, hold up. In the year 2025 that we are entering, the prognosis of that year is like inflation will be increased. No, it doesn't concern us. You shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Amen. I can tell you, it doesn't matter. I personally don't think that it doesn't matter what we are going to face in 2025. I don't think it's like the story of Joshua before Jordan parting. Amen. I don't think so. I don't think it's like Joshua in front of Jericho. No. But what did he say? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So you will not put your eyes on other things. You put your eyes on that which he said. What is the temptation? The temptation is to get your eyes off the word. Amen. Amen. Nothing in this world is a big deal. But this word will not tell you. The big deal is God, His word, His spirit. But this word will not tell you. You will see this example of what I'm talking about in the book of Matthew 14. Jesus is walking on water. He sees the people, they see him. Then they say to Jesus, you know the man, Peter, if it is you, bid me come. What did Jesus say? Come. What did Peter do? He went. What did he start to do? He started to walk on water. The man that responds to God's word, having heard God's word, is a champion. But guess what Matthew 14 tells us? The storm was there when Jesus was walking. True or false? It was there. Or does wave stop? Wave doesn't stop now. The Bible then tells us that while Peter was walking on water, he looked away from Jesus that told him to come. And what was he looking at? He was saying, you know, sometimes you are actually looking away from God's word. You are looking away from God's word, but you are talking about the wonder of God. This is powerful. That the waves can be doing like this, win. And what is happening to you? As you are analyzing, you are going down. Say, wow. You know, man, the inflation, the Binance, the cryptocurrency, the way this thing is, hey, are we still here? No, you don't need that. What you're going to be meditating on is that this year souls will be won. This year the word of God would increase. This year I'll grow. This year needs to be met like never before. This year, amen. That's God's word. When he started, he realized it. So the Bible says he focused on the winds and he started to go down. Then he focused back and said, God, help me. That's the story of meditating on God's word. Because if you give yourself to it, the temptation is to not give. If you give yourself to it, and it will be a habit, it will be a discipline, it will be a lifestyle. Listen, the believer is not, it's not about a miracle happening. So you read John 1 to the bar, you got a brand new car. That's not the believer. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the consistency of building inner strength by feasting on the word of God daily. Amen? Then growth is happening. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself to meditation. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read verse 12. So we've spoken about prioritizing growth. We said prioritizing God's word. That's what we mean. Prioritizing knowledge. And now number two, we're talking about prioritizing meditation. And we're looking at 1 Timothy 4. Let me read from verse 12. It says there, let no man despise your youth. Meaning, it doesn't even matter. This was, what's his name? He was writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. A young boy. I remember many years ago. How many years now? How many? 20, 2011, when I was sent out to go and pastor a church in Glasgow. And what was my marching order from the Lord? He said, let no man despise your youth, but be an example. So I'm telling you what he told me. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Listen, you will have thought God is saying, be an example, be an example, be an example. How do you become an example? He tells you. Are you in verse 13? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to that's how to be an example. No, I'm an example. I'm an example of conversation. You are stealing. Because the emphasis is not shouting that you're an example. The emphasis is giving attendance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I'm like, I don't really like this doctrine thing. Oh, that is the only way you will grow. Sometimes I choose to be boring. Sometimes I choose to be exciting as a preacher. But the truth about it is that whether I'm boring or exciting, as long as doctrine is coming, take heed. Because that's where your growing happens. That's how you become an example. That's how the word of God is shaping you. You know, I could change this meeting now. I've grown in God's word to know how to change meetings and change atmosphere. I can change it now and I'll just start preaching a storm. I can go by prophecy now and I'll just start saying things. But this one, I'm saying it this way so that you get what I'm saying. Right? Because sometimes people like excited preaching because it gives them a shivering. That pastor is fire. We were all standing when he was talking. No, that one too is at home. We have it. But I'm saying, when we're talking about growth, understand how growth happens. Right? Till I come, give attendance. So verse 12 will tell you to be an example of believers. Verse 13 starts to tell you the how. Till I come. Someone say, till I come. Let me ask you, has he come, so you are to keep giving attendance. Proverbs 4 verse 20, we say, my son, attend to my words. I incline thy ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. It shall be life to them that find it. It shall be health unto thy flesh. I saw that I can read my way into divine health. Ah! This is talking about a boy who grew up with malaria and typhoid as a double combination that was always buffeting him. In fact, my slim nature is not coming from genes. It came from the beating of malaria and typhoid every time. He was dying. Malaria, typhoid. Like twins. Malaria, typhoid. Malaria, typhoid. Then I saw, it shall be life to them that find it. Health to all their flesh. Ah, he says, give attendance to my word. Ah, let it not depart from the eyes. Keep it in the midst of. So when I feed on God's word, it does something to my mortal body. I said, glory to God. I got it. Hallelujah. 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 It shall be life unto them that find it. What is the secret? Give attendance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Give attendance. Life unto them that find it. We go back. 1 Timothy 4. Look at it. Till I come, verse 13. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, hey, that was given to thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. So he says, neglect not the gift that was given to thee, which you received when hands were laid on you, what are you to do for anything to manifest in the life of a believer individually? He will meditate. Look at verse 15. Meditate on these things. Meaning the Bible, as some people ask me, are prophecies automatic? They are not. Amen. Meaning that as I would round up now and start to tell you, right, maybe team of the year, how God is speaking to us, what you know that you can say, whoa, you know, see me tell to say, wow, ah, it's 2025 is our year. But if you do nothing with it, nothing will happen. The best you'll get is the blessings from a corporate perspective. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says it there. When you hear, it says, meditate on these things. Give yourself to it. Do you know what I mean to give yourself? If you're a lady, you know how, you know when a man is pursuing a lady, there is intensity. Amen? Yeah. Give yourself to it. It's the same way. It says, give yourself wholly to it. Look at it. It's there for yourself. That your profiting will appear to how many? All. So the man that meditates will be obvious in the midst of all of us. Meditate on these things. Give yourself to it. Be in it. We cannot be wondering, is this one in the world or not in the world? No. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to it. Your prokope, your advantage, your benefit will be shown to all. That's what he says. Say, I give myself to meditation. Especially in a world that like you are in. Where there is a lot going on. Many things. And let me tell you, they will look important. That's the trick. They will look logical. That's the trick. They will look like it. This is what I should be paying attention to right now. I know you spiritual people. Go and ask them. It's like a rat race. But there's another race. There's another wing, God. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Praise God. Church, praise God. You know, a lady came into one of our meetings, and that has, give yourself to these things. Meditate on these things. Think about it. Came to one of our meetings, right? And the next day, she was supposed to stand before a judge. And the judge was going to pronounce something on her, right? We stood on the altar here. I didn't even know it was the next day that it would happen. And we changed the verdict. Not because we can, because the Lord said we should. And we just said, you, come. And we just changed the verdict. And I didn't know, and my point is, in the meditating that you are meditating, God will always emphasize family and communion. Because there are many things he wants to get to you, that he needs to, it is through people he will get them to you. Amen? Church, amen? I am saying, meditation. Meditation will also give you into divine, because let me just say, you know what? Interestingly, for I just said, I just had a puzzling that I must be in church this day. Should I say, oh my God, I'm so worried. Let me just stay. And I'm, you know, tomorrow is the day. I didn't know. And then by God, it was turned. She came and said, oh, it's turned. Oh, it's turned. It's turned. And it's turned. It's turned over. Because it costs nothing. One day, fellowshipping with the Lord will turn around a life of stress and troubles, but people don't know. So they make everything look like those things are the important things. And that's what we're sharing with you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to it. Your profiting, it will appear to all. Look at it. It's there. Look at it. Verse 16. Take heed to thyself. It's the same thing. And unto doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save yourself. You will. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. You will save yourself and them that hear thee. I've shared two priorities with us today. Two priorities. I'll share one more and then we close. The third priority, the fear of the Lord. Someone say the fear of the Lord. Someone say the fear of the Lord. You know,
Open your Bibles, Proverbs. Let's go there quickly. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, quickly. Proverbs chapter, Proverbs chapter 9, actually, verse 10. All right, let's see that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of church, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not out of date. Don't let any woke community make it okay for you not to have reverence for the Lord. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is direction. The fear of the Lord in your generation is still wisdom. He says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. The man that wrote Proverbs said, I'm writing this to show you how to live a prosperous life in God. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm reading verse 3 in the NLT. The purpose of Proverbs is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles, look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. He tells you there is not, it's not something that is old school. The fear of the Lord, that right there is wisdom. He says, if sinners ask you to come and do evil, consent thee not. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. This is the story of Pharaoh. Not Pharaoh, what's his name? Joseph. Joseph's leader's wife says, come and sleep with me. Come and have intimacy with me. What does Joseph say? He said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against the Lord? You know, compromise makes it look like you got the goal. It's because you are short-sighted. You did not know that there's a bigger goal. The fear of the Lord. Right? The fear of the Lord. Prioritize it. It's the beginning of wisdom. And Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, wisdom is profitable to direct. So the fear of the Lord, let it guide you. Let it direct you. There's no need to compromise. No need to lie. No need to go in ways you should not go. Right? Because your trust is in the Lord. It's wisdom. Right? Proverbs 9 says, wisdom has built his seven structures and is calling out on us. Proverbs 2:6 says, and wisdom is in the mouth of the Lord. He gives it to the righteous. That wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord. A reverence for him. A reverence for him. A reverence for his kingdom. A reverence for his people. A reverence for his church. The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. A reverence. Anything spiritual, never be lackadaisical about it. It shows irreverence. Never. Anything spiritual. Anything spiritual. That is wisdom. It's wisdom. Anything spiritual. Don't be irreverent. Don't be lackadaisical. Yeah. I learned this from Bishop David Oyedepo. Directly. Nothing. When we crack joke, you say, hey, look at it. We all laugh. But when it's time for the work of God, we are going for a conference. Right? And there was traffic. I was in the car. Pastor David Oyedepo was in the other car. It was about time for church. We were in convoy. You know this time that we are in, that there's all social media. It wouldn't have been funny. Because Pastor David got down and started running. We were looking at it. Like, we that were junior boys in the faith. If Pastor David is running, who are we? We got down, we're running.
You know that in this day of social media, they are supposed to capture us, come out of the, it has been a problem for the way we look. Glory to God, we have to be there before the service starts because there was a traffic on the M25. Irreverence. That wisdom. Because see, let me tell you something. God does not look the way man looks. That's the thing. God looks at the heart. Men look after an outward appearance. So you can, that's what I learned that about Jesus long enough. That is the reason why I don't do all these things. Because God looks at the heart. And we didn't come here to play games. God sees the heart of a man. He has loved us so, giving us eternal life, changed our lives, giving us hope in this world of hopelessness. So how else do we live for him? We live for him by reverence of him, knowing that if he could save us from so great a destruction, he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And we hold on to it reverentially, even sometimes when we don't understand it. Right there, that is wisdom. That is direction. Right there, you find instruction. The fear of the Lord. In the day and age that you're in, even in the environment, even if everything is making it look like it is okay for the things of God to be turned out. If you do it, don't be that serious. That is the voice of the enemy. You know, sometimes the voice of the enemy comes from good counsel from loving people as well. Peter loved Jesus so much. Jesus' plan was to die. Peter goes to Jesus and says, you know what, you are not going to die. You will not die. He says, I rebuke you. You are against the plan of the Lord. It's a life of reverence. Jesus, you first. Jesus, you only. I always tell people, God's men are men without any other plan but God's plan. Amen. God's men are only men that have God's plan in mind. Say, what is the projection for 2020? What's your projection for 2025? Jesus. His plan and his purpose. That's how to live. I've realized that every other thing that people are running from or running to or running about, it makes us at the center. Because the man that commits himself to understanding that God has a plan for his life and God is love should not be concerned about the other things, knowing that God will meet those other things for his love and he cares. Amen. It is hypocrisy to say that we know that our God cares and we are trying to just always do things to show like or act like he doesn't care. He cares for me. Can I get a bit of an amen? And so it is the wisdom to trust in him. It is wisdom to live in the fear of the Lord. What is our theme for 2025? I started to ask the Lord, Lord, what? Summarize. What is it? And the Lord said, open your Bible to Malachi chapter 4. All right, as we start to conclude, Malachi chapter 4. And then he starts to tell us about the years ahead, not even the years ahead. Right? Now, this Malachi chapter 4, in prophecy, in terms of context of biblical prophecy, right, is talking about the coming of our Messiah. But God spoke to us directly from this, just as a summary of that which is to come. Malachi 4. Look at verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud listen, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn up, saith the Lord of hosts, and he shall leave them neither root nor branch. If you stop there, it looks like gloom and doom. Look at verse 2. Are you there? But unto you that do what? Fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness, he would arise with what? Healing in his wings. What would be the implication? We shall go forth. If you are reading it in the NLT and all the other versions, it says you shall go forth and grow up as cows of the stall. If you are reading it in the NLT, it says you shall go forth leaping as cows from the stall. You shall go, and so the Lord started to speak to us and say that, right,
It's a year, right, of leaps. It's a year of quantum leaps. It's a year. He says, and it's going to be orchestrated by his hands. A year of quantum leaps. Regardless of all that is happening around, he says, as for those that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You know, calves let out of stall. You know, calves are this like animals put inside, they are put inside of a stall, like, you know, a cage, something like that. And they are always willing to go out. When you now open the door, there is a joy with which they come out, leaping and jumping because they've got freedom. That's the word there. It says, for those that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, arises with healing in his wings, and they go forth in the midst of it, or they go forth leaping. They go forth leaping, leaping, leaping. And so for us, 2025 is our year of quantum leaps. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. We are leaping in the word of God, in the will of God, in the plan of God. More souls, more trends, more manifestations of power, more revelations, more strategy. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, 2025, everyone rise upon your feet right now. 2025 is a year of quantum leaps in the Holy Ghost. 2025 is a year of quantum leaps in the Holy Ghost. I stand today as the angel over this place, and I say, it's our year of quantum leaps. 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 By the Holy Ghost, it's our year in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we are leaping in strategy. We are leaping in activity. We are leaping in the Holy Ghost. We are leaping. We walk in his plan. We walk in his purpose. Oh, a little one, a thousand. A small one, a mighty nation. Quantum leaps by the Holy Ghost. And the